can hear tequila call my name. Here I am again, float up on the town. They got it right there, here in the last place on earth that I should be. But I can't seem to help myself. Now she sits upon the shelf, the one I know will be the root of me. Yeah, my mind, listen, I can hear tequila calling, calling.
Good morning and welcome to episode 188 of Taking the Charge podcast with you from Regensburg, Germany. I'm David Hein of Hein News. Thanks for stopping by. Lots of basketball. I didn't watch a lot of it, I will admit. I don't think I watched actually any. I've been kind of lazy and have to just go with that. No problem with that. Actually, we're probably watching more baseball than basketball. But I have a long chat with a foreign podcast co-host, Oz Davis. We kind of wrap up the Kobe Bryant era. Oz obviously is a big Lakers fan, so I wanted to get his opinion about Kobe Bryant, the future of the Lakers, because they are such a big name, there's a lot of unknown what they're going to be doing. I just wanted to get in touch with him a little bit and see what he thought, and then kind of get some opinions about the NBA playoffs. Long chat with him. Before we get to that, I do want to let you know to get in contact with the show. You can basically go to the website, hindnews.com, and you can get me at hindnews on Twitter. The email address is hindnews@gmx.de. There's the Facebook group, which is just put in Taking the Charge podcast on Facebook, and you will find the group. iTunes reviews, if you want to rate and review the show, go ahead and do that. It'd be fantastic. Obviously the playoffs are underway. I think as you can kind of hear from our discussion, not a lot of great excitement going into the first round of the playoffs. There's a couple of okay series. I think the Thunder Mavericks series could be interesting. I wouldn't mind seeing the Blazers win. I think the Pacers might, I thought the Pacers might give them a run for the money, even though, we, at the time of the podcast, the game one had already been done. I guess why don't we just let you listen to it? For those who may not remember Oz, he has been on the show actually a couple times over the last year or so. Here's my long chat with Oz Davis. So we'll catch you on the other side of that. All right. On the show this week, the old co-host of the show.
The former co-host.
The former co-host. The man who unbelievably, I keep saying this to some of the people who have been listening to the show even a while, unbelievably, some people do not know at all. Loyal listeners have never heard this man on the podcast, as crazy as that may be. Welcome back to the show, former co-host Oz Davis.
Hey, thanks. Well, I mean, look at it this way. These days I'm doing a Canadian football podcast weekly, and none of those people know that I'm doing a European basketball podcast, except for those paying attention when I drop it in. But zero of them know. So There you go. It all balances out.
An international basketball podcast. Mm-hmm. Not just European.
Yep, okay. All right. Well, you know, Europe-based.
Yes.
Based is usually what I say.
So. Well, it used to be.
But now I'm based in Orange County / Los Angeles media market, let's call it.
Yes.
This is America, after all. And right now, this is like the sports capital of the world. Dave. I mean, the headlines are pouring in. It's a great time to be a sports fan.
Actually, you know what? I guess you have to probably, because you've been on the show actually a couple times. Now that I go back and look.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're on 142, 154, and 168. 168 being back beginning of December.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, and I probably ranted about the Lakers. But.
Yeah. What are we going to start with now?
Do you want to start ranting about the Lakers?
Or do you want to start with something else?
It's your show, man. It's your show.
Well, I guess let's because people do know you as a Lakers fan. Why don't we start with the Lakers? And I guess first question will be, the first question would be, if you took 50 shots, would you be able to score 60 points?
If I was getting the opportunity,
if you had the opportunity to shoot 50 times in a game, would, do you think you could score 60 points?
No, I could, but I suck. I don't know if.
What about an LA rec league? Okay. What about an LA rec league?
That's not the interesting question. Okay. And the interesting question can be summed up with the problem of the entire Lakers season. The real question is, could D'Angelo Russell have scored, you know, 60 points if he had gotten 50 shots? You know, because basically this whole season was turning on the game, seeing if Kobe was playing, and if Kobe was playing, knowing that he was going to get all the decent shots. You know, I mean, it was the game was set up around him. Again, it's a combination of Byron Scott just not being a very good coach, and you know, this sort of understated tank effort. I mean, the Lakers now, if the balls bounce correctly. They now supposedly they're in line for the number 2 overall pick. I'm sure we've never drafted that low. Well, we haven't drafted that low in a long time since you know, it's got to be prior to Magic.
You got to be who? Sorry,
prior to Magic.
Okay.
So, unless it seems to me they had a number 1 once in that era, but I believe they traded. So we've never earned. And that's what the whole season is like. So, and again, this was one of the worst telegraphed final games ever. I mean, I saw the story before the game saying, you know, Laker fans have to watch out for Kobe tonight and da 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 da. And I'm watching the game and within 5 minutes of play, the play by play guys from my Los Angeles station are like, oh, do you think he's going to get 50 shots tonight? Well, there you go. He did get 50 shots. You know, it was clear from the outset, basically, all possessions, all shots were going to go. And I guess it was nice to get, you know, the final highlight, here, but it really just summed up this entire season, you know, for the fans. There was like this sense of having to be, of inevitability. And, you know, maybe even lose the game, and that's it. It's sort of an indescribable way to go into a game. You know, it's just it was surreal.
So was it? I mean, okay, you kind of just mentioned that it was sort of staged. Did you like that whole thing? I mean, you know, how everything was set up afterwards, I guess how all the merchandise was sold afterwards, everything else, you know, and how, you know, everybody threw their Mamba out, you know, tweet out there and everything else. Was it? Was
yeah,
it,
he was got it, like, he,
was
he
it, what it, was picture. It, and had all this, you know, oh, I, you know, I love the hate, you know, all these videos beforehand and tributes and all this other stuff. Was that, you know, I mean, as a Lakers fan, was that something that you like appreciated or that you thought was, I don't know, effectively done or anything? Like, how do you sort of like take in this whole situation?
It's moments like that when you realize where this team's located, you know, i.e. not that far from Hollywood, because, you know, I mean, that's all. I mean, this is a carefully orchestrated media event here. And you know, this whole, what's been really irksome about this year, I mean, aside from all of the Russell and Swaggy B nonsense, what's been really dismal this year is Kobe pretending to be like this sage figure, like this Yoda, you know, going out and dispensing wisdom and being nice to everybody. All of a sudden, people like him, right? No, he was never like that, you know. And it's silly. I mean, it's totally obvious the put on here, and I really, I mean, the staginess of all this stuff is really irksome. Now, look, I mean, as a Laker fan, okay, we've seen this. I mean, remember Kareem? I mean, Kareem was probably the first to have that farewell tour, you know, where it was explicitly, this is the last time he's going to be playing in Detroit, and this is the last time he's going to be playing in Chicago and all that, that one season. And then you got little gifties along the way. But it was like, you know, on one hand, it was the 80s. So it was less like obnoxiously technological. And of course, you couldn't have Mamba Day on Twitter. You know, I mean, come on. I mean, that's just silly. You know, unless they're talking about the Brian Spaeth movie. You know, I don't want like a Mamba Day, you know, on social media or whatever. You know, I mean, Kobe was one of these, here's the psychotic, let's say, performance. You know, he was a competitor. He wanted to destroy you. And there are guys like that, and they're often among the greats in those games. That's who he was. And to see this innocuous nice guy team this year was just, I mean, it was pure Hollywood. Pure Hollywood. And what was worse is what was terrible is it was a bad Hollywood movie, because the first two thirds of this, the last two seasons, I mean, he's basically out with injury. Right, so that's the bow out of it. It's like be injured for 2 years, which he hadn't been for the previous 17. Yeah, you know, be injured for 2 years and then go out like some kind of much beloved hero. I mean, he was much beloved in Los Angeles. So that's that.
All right, give me your top, let's say, 2-3 Kobe moments.
Wow. Well, this. But just so often he was the guy who explicitly was designed to take that clutch shot in the last. Now he's missed a few, but there's so many of those that they blurred together. I'll tell you what number one is. Number one is that one that you see that, precedes, I forget whether it's the NBC games, the ESPN game, the ABC, whatever. But they always show the one that caps the comeback against the Portland Trailblazers. I believe it was in 2000. Yeah, 2000. In 2000. Where, you know, Kobe feeds the ball up to Shaq, who was at the height of his power. You know, just jumps over the rim and slams it home and comes away from it looking surprised that they have done this awesome thing. Despite all the great shots, despite all the game-winning moments that Kobe had, I think that's the greatest one is when he assisted the Shaquille. Because that was, I mean, the years with Derek Fisher and Paul Gasol were great. They were fun. Powell, you know, he was my favorite player at that time. You know, gotta love those guys. But the highlight of the the pinnacle of Kobe's career still, and it's weird to say it, still is when he was the second option on that back-to-back-to-back Lakers change. That was the best part of his career. Hey, for the Lakers, that team was great. That was our, you know, Jordan.
Over under, I guess we'll put it this way. Over under 2.5, Kobe's place among great Lakers.
Okay, I actually had this debate briefly on Twitter. Now, we have to talk about what you mean by great Lakers. Because I'll tell you what, if we're talking about good for the franchise, just all things considered for the franchise, and it's this. I got Kobe 4.
4.
Yeah.
All right. So give me your top 4. I assume
Magic 1,
Kareem 2.
Kareem is 2. Yeah. But number 3 is Jerry West.
Okay, West. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Okay.
Jerry West. I mean, not only he won the championship as a player, but he also won championships as a GM of the team.
Yeah.
Okay. No other Lakers really done that, unless you want to throw in Mitch Kupchak, which I'm not sure we're going to do yet. So yeah, I would put Kobe up for just, you know, everything to the Lakers. And, putting Kareem at 2 is actually pretty incredible. I was thinking about that because, you know, he had a good career before he even came to the
league. Before he even came here. Yep.
He's on the Bucks all time team. That's for sure. You know, Lou Alcindor. He makes the Bucks. So. But yeah, I think Kobe's number 4. If you're just talking about for the franchise, et cetera, et cetera. If you're just talking pure, like numbers for the Lakers, time or whatever, yeah, he's top 2.
Would you consider him a transcendent player in the NBA?
Oh, sure. Couldn't
you argue that he's just a, almost a replica of Jordan, and that he didn't change the game, if you want to call a transcendent player someone who changes the game?
Well, okay, but on that level, there have been extremely few players who changed the game. I mean, literally the guys who changed the game are dudes like George Mikan and Shaquille O'Neal. These were guys who were so
dumb. You could say Jordan, and you could say LeBron, and you could say Curry.
Right. Right, but then, yeah, you put on guys who actually, like, evolve the game, you know, on the floor or whatever. Yeah, you've got very few after that. Okay, in that respect, no.
Okay.
But transcendent in that he made teams better that he was.
Absolutely. And a champion, of course. Of course he's a champion. All you have to do is look at the rings and he's a champion.
Take over a game in that respect, yeah. He's a transcendent player, you know, along with, and then you talk about guys like Reggie, you know, or Barkley, or guys like this who can take over a game. But nah, as far as like evolving the game or anything like that, no. But look, you can say the same thing about Tim Duncan, who is.
But I don't think anybody would call him a transcendent player.
Duncan?
Yeah.
Of course not.
No.
By this standard, but he does the game.
Do you think that actually would have been better for the Lakers if he had actually had this tour last year, and that the $25 million that they could have gone and spent the $25 million this year instead of this past off instead of next off season?
This last 3 years, the Lakers have never been worse, and the reason is Kobe going out. You know, Kobe like this long extended, like miserable departure. You know, again.
So now I guess we can kind of like, don't worry, non-Laker fans, we're almost done. So kind of looking towards the future. I mean, you look at $25 million coming off the books now for Kobe, and it looks like Hibbert has $15 million and. I guess Bass has $3 million, so that's $60 million. I guess.
So we're taking it for granted that those guys are gone, which they are.
and then I guess according to this article, the cap is leaping from about 70 million to 90 million. So you have that much more money. But everybody has that extra money. Obviously there's the draft pick, and that salary will be fixed. And obviously the big guy out there is going to be Durant. But as far as other names out there, Horford, you know who else might be out there? Whiteside?
Yeah, LeBron, if he decides to opt out.
If he decides to opt out, but who are already basically out there. So how do you see this offseason? What do you think happens this offseason? Well, first of all, is the pick guaranteed or only if they're in the lottery? Only if they're in the top three?
It's top five protected, I would say.
Well, then it's definitely protected. There's no way they could be outside the top five.
Then it must be top three. Then it must be top three. Because there's still a way that top three protected. There's still a way that they can.
And then if they lose it, where do they pick then?
Oh, God.
You don't want to know. Okay.
It's over, Dave. It's over. how do I think it's going to go down? A lot depends on, for KD.
And is Swaggy P part of it?
He's gone as well.
He's still under contract.
Well, I cannot see this lasting. I mean, after that ridiculous, insane story. But then again, you know, this front office has been completely
infected. All right. Anyhow, okay. So I interrupted you. Go ahead. How do you?
Okay. KD is the big one, right? And a lot depends, I think, on how far the Thunder go in this playoffs and how happy they are. That because easily, I mean, Westbrook's comes up in another. So easily, you know, Durant would say, okay, I'll sign for one year and play with Westbrook and Serge, right? I'll play with these guys if it looks like they can steal one. I mean, I don't think the Warriors are going to win 73 games together. I don't think that's going to happen. So if Durant and Westbrook, I think, decide that they can eat next year, he'll just resign. Okay? Lakers are taken out of that. Other than this, I don't know what the draw to Los Angeles is. Okay? The draw right now is that, hey, we have a superstar vacuum in Los Angeles. You want to come here? Now, who's that? Who's going to do that? You know, LeBron.
Well, I guess Drummond March 5th should be. Drummond, actually DeMar DeRozan actually has a player option. Gasol has a player option. Powell, unrestricted is Horford. Restricted is Bradley Beal. There's Dwight Howard. Sorry, I'll pass over that one.
Shit.
Really quick. Dwayne Wade, Conley, Whiteside, Harrison Barnes, Chandler Parsons, Tim Duncan. All right, so we'll keep going. Nicholas Batum, Jefferson, and Ryan Anderson, among the others.
Are any of these guys like a Marquette guy?
Well, you could argue that DeRozan would probably be the emerging guy that you might want.
But I bet he likes it.
Well,
if the Raptors get bounced quick.
Well, if they get bounced and LA says here's 9 more million than what you've gotten with Toronto.
Yeah,
right.
I guess. And then you could get one or two more of those guys. I suppose. Is Byron Scott still around? I mean, that's a big question too. Do people really want to fight for him? I mean, by all appearances, he looks like a front coach to the fans.
His contract doesn't run out, that's for sure.
Yeah, coach is getting fired.
Lakers know how to do that. Buy out the years of their contracts.
Yeah, the day.
Are they still paying for Brown? Probably are, aren't they?
Probably, actually. He may still be on the board. Yeah. No, I saw the day after Kobe's final game, the only non-Kobe story was a quote from Scott saying, "I'm confident I'll keep my job." Yeah, okay. Whatever.
Yeah.
Let's hope not. It's hard to tell what appeal this team has. I mean, you know, the D'Angelo Russell, "I'm going to rat you out," messing around story is bad, is a cancer, I think, to draw people, unless you're squeaky clean. And there's got to be a limited number of players. They're just not going to trust this guy. They got a lot of young players with some potential. But again, the coaching, this is not Brad Stevens, you know, coaching his team. So what's the draw here? What's the draw? If it's not Kevin Durant, I don't see a Brad Stevens.
So over under right now, 37 wins.
Next oh, year, God, come on. You're going to do this to me? 37 wins?
Oh, I can't believe we're talking about the Lakers.
That's your team, dude. We could talk about the Cubs, but nobody wanted to listen to that.
I'd be a little optimistic.
You'd be optimistic?
Yeah. Yeah, 38, 39. I think you pick.
You think they play 500?
37 is. So I'd go a little bit.
All right, how's this for a then? All right, so do you think? Wow! Oh my goodness, that I didn't realize. Wow! I didn't realize this at all. Did you know that the two, at least, the Bulls would have made the playoffs, maybe even as a sixth seed in the West. That there was a 41, a 42, and a 42 win team making the playoffs in the West.
Yeah.
And there was a 42 and a 41 team in the East not making the playoffs.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Wow.
No, I mean, the Warriors and the Spurs with such a hurting on Western Conference this year. They beat everybody. They shrunk everybody. Those two teams.
Yeah, but even Oklahoma City with their 55 would have been third in the East.
Yeah.
So.
This is not unbelievable. I don't know if balance of power is. I think it is. I don't think this is a massive. I just think it's, again.
All right. So, but do you think? All right. So, do you think that they get in? They would have enough victories to make the playoffs in. Well, I was going to say in the East, but actually, they'd have to. Do you think they make the playoffs in the West even?
Next year.
Yeah.
San Antonio. But yeah, it's way too early.
Yeah, well, we'll leave it at that.
Playoffs.
All right, let's talk about the playoffs a little bit. I guess. Why don't you start with what you want to talk about first, then?
Oh, I'm just full behind. I just want to get this out there. I am full behind my own prophecy for sports, which is we're going to see Toronto get into the finals. So they're going to be the Raptors are going to be in the NBA Finals, and the Blue Jays.
And who?
The Blue Jays.
The Raptors and the Blue Jays.
Are going to be in the Blue Jays. Yeah, they are. I saw a statistic the other day that said since 2005, Toronto has won one playoff series. Now, it's obviously not the Maple Leafs. In fact, that was the Jays against Texas last year. And we all know how far Blue Jays got that. Actually, you may not, but let's just say they did not make the series after beating the Texas Rangers. But I think this is the year they took that. Now, of course, that prediction already looked bad for Toronto because they did lose that first game rather egregiously to all the Blazers. But I have confidence. This Raptors team has a lot of fun to watch.
And okay, so you're confident that they beat the Pacers because why?
This is a good team. You know, this is a team that they finished one game behind Cleveland. I love the way that these players have grown and developed together mostly. This is not a team composed of free agents and like some teams Cleveland are seeking to do these days in the NBA. I like that. I don't know. I just haven't been. I've seen Indiana a couple of times this season, and I really have not been impressed by this team. I'm surprised they managed to get in at 7. The Bulls' late season collapse really fell down quite a lot because they really believe that they're much better on paper than somebody like the Pacers. Paul George awoke in game. And I also think that, in general, a good reason why the Raptors should bounce back is that was a bit of a fluke. I mean, just the absolutely poor shooting by the studs outside by Kyle Lowry, just awful. And Valanciunas, here's Valanciunas setting some kind of record. I don't even know what it, maybe a club record for rebounds in game 19. I'm sure his 11 offensive rebounds have got to be some sort of record as well. But then, you know, I was telling Dave before the show, just before I went on, I was reading a piece. We're still talking about this game 2 days later in the States, in North American media. You know, that he followed his 11 offensive rebounds with 0-7 shooting. He was 0-7 on putbacks, you know, more or less in this game. So, you know, these are freaky statistics that are bound to balance out. I think, you know, all things considered, the Raptors are a good place.
And they take out the Heat then in the semifinals of the West of the Eastern Conference?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
And
why not? Or the Celtics. But yeah.
Well no, they'd face the Heat or the Hornets.
Yeah.
And then the Hawks and the Celtics. Hawks, you know, they took game one, yeah. But, you know.
Yeah, I did not see their game. I saw the highlights. You know, that's going to be a great series. I think a lot of people are, you know, going to sleep on that one because Atlanta is a team that always flies under the, not even under the radar, but under the interest level of a lot of NBA players. So this will be a fun series. You know, there are a couple of nice no-name, nearly no-name teams for that. Sure. I think they get past the Heat. The key one, of course, is the Cavs series, and 90% of you saying this is just open and controversial, picking the Raptors. But the big news, you know, from the Cavaliers side, and I'm wondering if it's all just, you know, a way to increase intrigue, but, you know, This is not a team that looks happy playing together. You know, LeBron again has been petulant and I don't know, showy at times about his displeasure for the team. You know, there's word that now in the locker room the team is turning against Tyronn Lue, which would be the second captain that they've mutinied against this season, which wouldn't be surprising. Yes. And of course, you know, there are moderate to top Cleveland. And I think that basketball is a pretty emotional game. One or two players can turn this tide. And I think the Raptors have enough weapons of their own that if the Cavaliers decide to become five individuals out there, which they're completely capable of doing at any time, that the Raptors team beats them in a 7-point set. I mean, if there's an implosion in these playoffs, that's
but do you think that the Raptors are going to win four games over the Cavaliers? I mean, that's what. That's a serious question.
I'm hoping, but that's
what you have to do. You have to beat over seven games. You have to beat the Cavaliers four times.
I believe.
Because the Cavaliers are so the Cavaliers are going to lose four times.
The Cavaliers are going to beat themselves
four times.
Okay. Right. If ever, well, in series. I mean, it's not like, you know, I don't think this is a charity case. Look, if I told you tomorrow that I've seen the future and I've seen the Spurs beating Warriors four times and taking that series, you wouldn't be shocked. I mean, why? It's just that Toronto has flown under the radar this season as well, just like San Antonio, relative to the beast in their conference. This is not a bad team. This is a very, very good team with all-stars in it. And so it's not like they're just rolling over, but yeah, sure. Why not? Why not win?
Well, they first have to get past the Pacers.
And
then they have to get past the Heat. So...
But I mean, everywhere to the NBA Finals is flat peril.
Yes, fantastic. All right, so the Raptors in the finals, so which of the four series are you most in the West? Are you most intrigued by?
Oh God, I saw this thing on 538. For those who don't know, it's a great, very statistics-based site about sports and American electoral politics for this year. And it was previously done at the conference, like, that's probably not. Yeah, 538. And they ran their analysis on the Western series, and each of these teams, each of the top seeds, meetings has a 91% or better chance to win. So, you know, just based on pure statistics and things like this. So there's not much suspense going on there. I'm not too particularly intrigued. I like watching San Antonio. Of course, you got one. I don't know. I think this first round is a bit of a formality. I'm not too intrigued. Are you? Are you heavily?
I mean, I probably won't be watching much of it anyhow. But maybe a little bit Clippers Blazers, but really just because one of my buddies here is a big Blazers fan, and I really don't like the Clippers that much. So it'd be fun to it'd be fun to see them go down. You know. And but otherwise, you know, I'm really hoping that the Rockets get swept, just so that whole so we don't have to see any more of James Harden or Dwight Howard for the rest of the year. That would be very, very nice. Although to be honest, I'm getting sick of the Warriors. You know, I know that might be taboo to say, but I'm sick of them. You know, I really am. You know, I'm sick of everybody.
Chicago guy.
No, I'm sick of all this, you know, this super love for Curry, you know. It's just, you know, everybody complains about all these other people who celebrate and stuff, you know. He's just as bad as anybody else, you know. I mean, don't call me a, you know, old fart who does, you know, don't come on my lawn and stuff like that. Yeah. But, you know, I mean.
You Warriors, get off my lawn.
You know, I you know, you know, he's all over the place, and I don't really have to want to see him everywhere. What?
And you're in Europe too. You should see what it's like in the States. It's to the point now where, you know, my daughters who care less about basketball. Their only takeaway from basketball is the Lakers suck. Isn't that wonderful? They're barely conscious of when the Lakers were ever good. I love this about young people. So you know, they don't know anything about basketball, but they can recognize Stephen Curry.
Yeah. So I, hey man, I listen, man, If nothing else, see, just because I would be really happy for my buddy if the Blazers take down the Clippers and then you know, Lillard goes crazy and somehow they knock out the Warriors. Although on the other hand, I'd really like to see the Warriors and the Spurs in the Western Conference Finals.
Oh yeah, everybody's waiting for that. Everybody's that. And you know, it's going back full circle on this. You know, here's Tim Duncan, and he's 99.99 how many nines percent likely to be done after this season. And we're not getting this whole hullabaloo about this. Perhaps if we do get that Warriors Spurs camp, you know, this will be one of the storylines. Tim Duncan's final go around, possibly ..
Possibly.
They'll probably be doing a lot of this, but everybody in the States is waiting for this. It's nice because we're finally at this point now where people do appreciate the Spurs. I still think a lot of people did not notice that this team, you know, won so many games this season, because we're all too blinded by the Warriors. But, I think that people actually do turn on the TV to see the Spurs game, as opposed to the food when the popular conception was that
they had the better record at home this year.
Yeah.
They were 40-1 and the Warriors were 39-2. So
that was a disappointment to see them lose that record. To almost become the first undefeated team. That was sad. I was sad to see that happen.
All right. So, when would the conference finals be? Any idea?
It'd have to be like late May.
Late May. Okay. So. Yeah. Well, I guess. Yeah. It's third week of May.
It's after the year.
Yeah. Okay. So then we'll have you back on and talk about the conference finals then.
Yeah.
Because that I would definitely watch that. And so.
And if it's the Clippers in the finals, wow.
Oh God, please.
We can mutually rip all.
Oh, out. You know, would be. Oh no, I guess we can't. I guess we can't have the Clippers and the Rockets in the finals.
Oh God.
No, we can't. We can't because the Clippers would meet the Rockets in the second round.
Oh wow.
Because it's 1-4.
That'd be great.
Oh, that would be great.
Not gonna
happen. All right, I guess what he didn't practice, is that what it was? Do they have any chance is there any way that the Warriors is the name of the club,
yes,
is there any way that they get knocked out if Curry doesn't play?
Wow, that's an interesting question. That's a good question. Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 Your chances increased significantly. What was this? They were saying this during I think it was the 72nd, because we here in the States, I'm sure nationwide, we got a lot of wall to wall Lakers in the last like couple of weeks. They were on basically every night. And it was the stat that in games without Curry, all time, the Warriors are 22-56. Now, a lot of that happened before they became the Warriors, the Dubs, like they are now. I love that. Before they became what they are now. But that's pretty telling. That's pretty telling that he is that much of a leader for this team. On the other hand, you know, I've been watching them a lot lately, and this is a team of components. You know, this is a team of guys who are best at doing what they do. And what Stephen Curry does best is chuck up the long three point. If they could make up with that, throw somebody in who's competent, they could definitely compete. I mean, you still would not write them off without Curry.
Oh, I think they could still win. I think they could still beat the Heat even if Curry didn't play the rest of this series. I do.
He'll probably see limited minutes. I mean, Curry, there was a story in this that Curry, you know, held him down in the second half because he didn't want to push his limits in the last game of the playoffs. So he's going to rest a lot. He's going to take it easy. I think Kerr is going to. Kerr, he kind of got the story going into those last couple of games is after they had clinched, after the Warriors had clinched the Western side, was do you guys want to play, you know, your regular minutes as you go for this win record? And Kerr, you know, openly told ESPN he's not in favor of that. You know, he wants to like sit players. He wants to like work on the deeper ends of the bench. And he talked to the players about it. The players said, no, we want to go for it. And he let him. So now, you know, given this playoff scenario, which, you know, they could be zombies and probably take 4 games, I think he's going to see, you're going to see a lot of bench guys. Curry is in very low danger of any games.
All right.
It's very interesting. Very interesting question. And, you know, I did want to point this out, too. We've probably already forgotten, but you may remember last year, Dave, when one of the knocks against the Golden State Warriors was that getting to the championship, you know, they didn't play the teams that we expected that they were going to have. They didn't get the Spurs, any of the other, you know, what we consider the top bracket team last year. They will have to do that this year. And the other thing that people forget is, of course, last year, the Cavaliers in that finals were crippled, right? They were playing without Kyrie Irving. They had, you know,
they didn't have Kevin Love either.
Right, exactly.
They had Della Dovell.
Della Dovamania. I remember Della Dovamania. It lasted about 15 minutes.
God,
so the NBA playoffs would definitely be interesting. That the Warriors will be tested. You can throw out that regular season record, right? As we always say, and this way it's going to be way tougher.
You know, all right. So these are best of sevens, right? So, you know,
yes.
Like we said, I mean, you have to beat a team 4 times to kick them out of the playoffs. And I don't know if you've listened to. I could definitely, you know, the Vertical podcasts. I don't know if you've listened to those yet. The ones, you know, they have Woj, but there's also JJ Redick, who does a weekly interview with somebody for a podcast. It's on this Yahoo Vertical thing.
And this is called The Vertical?
The Vertical is the website. It's basically the Yahoo's basketball website, NBA website. And then they...
Oh, okay.
And then they have a series of they have three different podcasts. One of them with Wojnarowski, who's the big, you know, the big NBA writer, and then they have Chris Mannix, I think his name, who also does one, and then they have JJ Redick, and he does a weekly interview with somebody, He did an interview, you know, he was talking to DeAndre Jordan, was the interview partner, and they were talking about how unbelievably long the season is, you know? And then, you know, if you get bounced in the conference semifinals, and then, you know, you have to go through the entire offseason, and you have to go 82 games and then get to that place again just to be where you were last year, and it's truly amazing how long this season is.
Oh yeah. Know? Oh yeah. Well, this is one of the other things that makes the, again, coming back to the beginning, this makes the longevity of guys like Kobe and Duncan,
yeah,
and Ritzky,
yeah,
too, as completely, you know, insane, because these guys are going deep into the playoffs every year on top of the 82 game season. And then they're often doing, you know, national team stuff as well.
Well, often doing national team is no, not that's, I wouldn't say often.
Well, okay, enough. You know, it's noticeable.
The Americans are doing it every other year.
Right.
You know,
these are guys who are, you know, at times playing, you know, 22 consecutive months, high level hoops.
Yeah, for sure.
So, you know, it makes the longevity of guys much more intriguing, much more valuable. And the other thing too is this, that effect works on teams like the Warriors who appear invincible going into the playoffs and playing many games of high intensity in short, you know, short order. It also, and this is probably the biggest downside and a real argument to limit the length of certain seasons, like I'm thinking mostly Major League Baseball and the NBA here, is that, the hottest team, the team that gets hot at the end wins, not necessarily the best team. Now in basketball, it tends to leaven out. You don't see too many teams like the New York Knicks, getting into the finals starting the 7th, 8th season. You don't see that too often in the NBA, but I think that, this is going to start happening. I think we're going to get the team that gets hot in the, last couple of finals. And, you know, to me, this is a distressing trend. I don't like that. I don't like hottest team.
All right. So, we'll probably have you on before. Before the conference finals or after the conference finals, but in case it's not until after the conference finals, you have the conference finals of the top two seeds in both Western Conference and Eastern.
Yeah. I'm gonna stay there.
And if one of the teams, a non top two seeded team, were to make it to the conference finals, who would you have making it there?
Oh, well, it could be anybody in the East.
It can't be anybody.
Okay, I'll say
well, because Atlanta. So you're saying the Cavaliers don't make the finals.
No, because I think the Cavs are in.
Well, then it can't be the Hawks and it can't be the Celtics.
Okay, all right. Those would be my upset
specials. So it has to be either the Heat or the Hornets or the Pacers.
I just got the Heat. Wow. No, I'm going to stand pat. I'm going to stand pat then. For the second
time. 1 and 2 in the East.
Yep.
And in the West?
Now, see, the West, that's
so the Warriors. I think the Warriors in the next round would play the Clippers or the Blazers.
Okay, yeah.
And then,
I guess the Warriors don't have that difficult a pass.
And then the Suns, and then the Spurs would face either the Thunder or the Mavericks.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I would say in that case, if somebody doesn't make that final, it's going to be the Spurs.
Well, the question was if they don't make. Yeah, okay. So who's it going to be then? It's going to be
the upset would be OKC.
OKC making it in instead of the Spurs.
Right. So in other words, of your entire bracket, I would say not going to go to the top two.
You're going chalk, and if there's not 1-2, it'll be the Thunder at the 3.
Yeah, chalk. Yeah, I admit it. I just don't see any other. After this season, I just don't see any. I'm sure I'm not the only one that's on this line. I can see a lot of people not picking the Raptors. They just haven't chosen.
Well, you know they lost the first game already, so.
Right. They haven't shown the playoff consistency. So I can well imagine people not picking them in. Chalk. Yeah.
I'll go the team that if it's not top two, I think it'll I'll say the Pacers. That if it's not the top two, then it'll be the Pacers.
Meaning the Cavs.
Meaning the Pacers would then beat the Heat.
The Heat, yeah. Sure. Pacers against Cavs. Wasn't that
supposed to be the matchup for like years and years?
Yeah.
Until the Pacers somehow totally fell apart.
Yeah.
Remember, they were like totally given everything.
Yeah, they were the darling.
Yeah.
They were the darling for a year or two there. Okay. All right. Before I get out of here, I want to go back a little bit and in time and ask. So where did you finish in the NCAA bracket?
Oh, God. You want to go there.
Or were you like 14 out of 16 or something like that?
I don't even know if I was that.
You were pretty low on the table there. And I ended up fourth, did I not?
Yeah, I think you. All right. Third or fourth? Third or even fourth?
Wow. Even third?
How could I? Let me see if I can get there.
No, you can just back into ESPN. Like, yeah, ESPN and NCAA basketball.
Yeah, I don't know how to find the brackets, though. Bracket challenge. Here we go. Yeah, I got messed up pretty quick, pretty bad. And here we go. Oh, look at that, so easy. Yeah. Things would have looked a lot different if Michigan State had gone a little further.
Me too.
You ended up fourth.
Yeah.
Wow, dude, you're right. 14th or 16th. Yes. Okay. So.
Wow.
Somehow I left two people behind me. I don't know how that happened.
I don't know how that happened either. So who won? Did you ever congratulate?
I announced her name. I announced her name. Okay. I think it was Suzanne Barnhart or something like that. I actually tried to contact her and never got back to me.
She was just a fan of the podcast.
She sent me an email and I sent her an email back and she never contacted me again. And cause I wanted to give her, originally I wanted to have the winner on the show.
Right.
But
that was the perk of me joining the league, David.
Well, I guess you don't have to worry about that anyway. Is that it? No, that wasn't her name. Was that it? Maybe that was her name. Yes, Sarah Cooper. Sarah Cooper won, and her bracket
ended up with a total of 90%.
90%, and she, I think the main reason she made it so far was because she had UNC.
Yes.
Going to the final. Yeah, so that basically
she was the only one.
That basically got her. That got her the title. Again, if you're listening to this and you took part in the bracket challenge, thank you very much. It was great to have so many people. She's the only person who had any points in the final four.
Yep. But here's Litho Ramjam. And who is that? Is Litho Ramjam.
That actually might be what's his name from the Facebook group?
Yeah. Okay.
I think that's his.
I'm not surprised. He kind of shot himself in the foot going with Gonzaga as champions.
Well, Lithuania, you know.
Yeah, if he hadn't gone for Sabonis and company, he might have won this thing. I thought for sure after the first couple of rounds, I thought for sure he was going to win the thing.
I mean, he had Syracuse.
Yep.
In the final eight.
Yep. That's right.
You know,
right.
I mean, that's better than I did.
Yep. I wasn't that good. But so I just wanted to give myself props. I came fourth with a whopping percentage of 68.3.
Yeah.
But this kind of shows how much of my time I didn't see over the past maybe year, just to say not very much. But still came fourth. Dave, you're going to have to work on a better system next year, like random.
Dude, if I can have 16 people, I don't care about the system. I'm fine with that. That's fantastic. And Sarah, if you're listening, contact me again and please so that I can get you a prize. I don't know about being on the show,
which is not
anymore.
Being on the
show. Okay. Well, you know, I mean, if you want to come on the shows, you can definitely. But Oz, I think as a recommendation to you, maybe while you're watching your these wonderful playoffs, I would definitely recommend taking a look at some of the ongoings here in Europe. There's some very fun things going on.
Yeah.
Some very nice political stories. Lots of political intrigue. We were talking beforehand and
I got to say I miss being this much in the
Yeah, and the EuroLeague is, you know, EuroLeague is down to the last eight. So those playoffs are going on right now as well.
I will have to witness the end of the Turkish Airlines curse from far away. Fenerbahce is going to pick this
game. Do you think Fenerbahce is going to win it?
It's not going to be CSKA. I refuse to go with them again.
Well, why shouldn't it be CSKA? No, seriously.
They have to traditionally disappoint in the Final Four.
Well, hasn't that also had to do with a certain Olympiacos team that is not in the Final Eight?
Yeah. It would be nice to see them after so many years of being on that level of Final Eight. Are you enjoying the playoffs? I've seen very little of the playoffs. I'm at least aware of it.
I haven't really had a chance to watch much. I've been trying to go to baseball practice on Thursday, and the wife has been a little sick, and so haven't had a lot of time to devote to the playoffs yet. There's a game on tonight, so Monday, at the time of recording. Actually, by the time the podcast comes out, you could even have three teams.
Teams are primed to sweep.
Fenerbahce. I mean, I actually picked them to not make it through, because they're playing without Vesely. But we'll see. Yeah, so you could have three teams already through. Last week on the show we had Emmett. From Ball in Europe. If you want to catch up on EuroLeague, definitely go back and listen to last week's show. Oz, now that it's the LA Rams, do you still have anything to do with that or no?
Oh yes. So I'm converted now. I'm Rams fan.
No, but I mean, you were doing the website
LARams.net. LARams.net still exists.
And are you still doing things for that then, or no?
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, if you want me to plug my own stuff,
Go for it.
I'm mostly in American football these days as far as my online activities. Which seems strange to say because my main draw these days is CFLpass.ca, which focuses on the exciting native football, which is really awesome. It's really growing up more and more every day. I mean, I've always been a prolific fan. What a great game this is. CFLBass.ca, we have regular stuff over there. I do a weekly podcast. Great guy in the game, which is about Wisconsin. It's Cheesehead. It's Winnipeg Blue Bombers.
Blue Bombers?
Yeah, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers.
Okay. What are some of the other names?
Oh, jeez. Okay, let's go through them all. There's the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
Rough Riders. I remember that one.
There's the Ottawa Red Blacks.
Oh, God.
Latest to the and 2 years went to the Grey Cup. Let's see. Toronto Argonauts. Calgary Stampeders. My team, Montreal Alouettes.
Montreal what?
Montreal Alouettes.
Alouettes. What's an Alouette?
It's a lark.
A lark, okay. Okay.
I believe they chose it because of the French language kids song, Alouette. I don't know if that's sure why they chose it. I do know they have a lot of lark.
Trivian.
BC Lions is a team that I have not mentioned. I'm trying to think who else I have.
Okay. They still have the Argonauts?
Yeah, the Toronto Argonauts. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, this team's winning.
Hey, so when does that season go?
It starts early. It starts in June.
June? Until?
And it goes until
December. Okay, you're kind of going back in. You're going in and out.
So, the Grey Cup is in December.
December. Okay.
And at very least, that's what will work. Even if you're just a casual sports fan, you should definitely check out the Grey Cup. It's really Canadian football is really a fantastic sport, especially for those who kind of like NFL football or kind of appeal to it, but it doesn't seem.
Well, that might be something fun to do, like going
CFL is fun.
When I go, if I go to Toronto again, maybe I was.
Oh yeah, check out a game, Dave. Oh, it'll be great. They got a new stadium there in Toronto and everything. Yeah, okay, well. Specifically for the Argonauts. Oh yeah, yeah, it'll be. Yeah, you got to check it out. You get tickets fairly easily in Toronto. Toronto and BC don't always sell out way ahead of time. Almost everywhere else does. Yeah. But yeah, go see the Argonauts. That'll be great.
I'd rather see the Blue Jays, but you know.
Whatever. Well, yeah, but I bet the ticket will cost you what, 1/8 as much probably to go see the CFL game.
Probably,
and it's a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
Unless you do SeatGeek. Hey, this is basically as big as all of these. What are they called? The daily fantasy things. This is on all the podcasts. The SeatGeek.
Oh yeah. SeatGeek and a couple others that now dominate American podcasts. I mean, I even listen to stuff like comedy podcasts.
And they have SeatGeek stuff.
And SeatGeek is on there, yeah. Because you can get tickets. You can get tickets to comedy shows.
Yeah, of course. Oh man,
and
sick of it.
So yeah, that's one of them. Oh yeah, but it's 20 times better than fantasy sports. You know, fantasy sport, I think, is now illegal in half the country, half the state, because, of course, it's America, so they do it state by state, right?
Yeah.
And they lost New York recently. They lost California recently. So it's just like, I mean, it's gambling, you know, and it's advertised as not gambling.
Yeah, well, we don't need to get into
that. You know, I'm just saying. I'm defending SeatGeek. Anyway. CFLpass.ca, LARams.net, I also contribute to. I only contribute to about once or twice a week, basically because we're not getting any income being the off-season. So I just write a couple of things a week. Very excited about getting them in there. Very excited. That is awesome. That was fantastic news. They'll probably screw it up, but it's nice. It's nice that they'll pick the wrong quarterback. But it's nice to, like, you know, have that excitement. That's a great way to start off the LA Rams 2.0 era.
Getting Ryan Leaf.
Yeah. Oh, come on, man. Or Jamarcus Russell, right? Just break my heart.
That's not your team.
Before it starts.
It's not your team.
And I have not written for the website in a while, but the website still exists. We will be coming back very soon, which is NFLbets.com, which is, of course, what you'd expect, talking about gambling on NFL and stuff like that. However, I do not advertise it as not gambling. We are explicitly talking about point spreads and over underlines and things like that. However, I have not contributed much to that because NFL is in the offseason, as everybody knows. So those are my three prime sites these days, podcast based at cflpass.ca. Yeah, but I still have a little bit of time for basketball. And I have a lot of time for basketball this next month or two.
Well, there you go.
I'm very happy. I'm looking forward to another EuroLeague final, no matter who's in it.
Yes. All right, Oz, thanks for coming back on. And
thanks, Rob.
I guess in a few weeks.
Yeah, we'll talk soon.
All right, man. Okay. Yeah. Long chat. Good to talk to him. And I think we'll try to get him on before, either before the conference finals or before the finals, one or the other. EuroLeague. I forgot to talk a little bit about the EuroLeague. I haven't really watched any of the EuroLeague, so can't really say too much about it. I was surprised that there were three sweeps already. I did not see Fenerbahce. Just blasting past Real Madrid. Obviously, I picked Real Madrid to win in five. Also, didn't see Laboral sweeping Panathinaikos. Obviously, we both picked Emin and I both picked CSKA to get past Zvezda, sweep Zvezda, and they did, and was a lot tighter than you know people may have thought. But you know, this is a team that is playing, with absolutely zero pressure, and and the other series, the other series, Lokomotiv Kuban and Barcelona. Barcelona is up 2-1, and that game four would be on Thursday. So they could finish that off on Thursday. So Thursday we could know about the final four. And if not, then we're going to know Tuesday. So definitely by the time the next show comes around, we will have a Final Four set. Maybe I'll try to go back and watch some of them to kind of get a kind of offer you guys some insight and or not. We'll see. Something's telling me that we're going to do a little bit of U17 stuff next week, but I'm not one to let you know ahead of time. So maybe, maybe not. We'll see. But I'm going to let you go. I have plenty of things to do today, and so that's why I'm going to keep this short, at least the talking part, a nice long chat with Oz to give you some time. So the song you're going to be listening to is called Tequila Calling, and it is by Big Sandy and his Fly Right Boys, Tequila Calling. So enjoy that. It's available, of course, on freemusicarchive.org. So with that, I bid you a fair farewell, and we will talk to you next week.
I can hear tequila calling, and it won't be long before I'm falling. Woo! Deep into that golden spell, feeling high, I know too well. I can hear tequila call my name. Here I am again, float up on the town. They got it right there. Here in the last place on earth that I should be, but I can't seem to help myself. Now she sits upon the shelf, the one I know will be the root of me. Yeah, my mind, listen, I can hear tequila calling, calling. Jackrabbit Slim style. Here we go now. I say, listen, I can hear tequila calling, and it won't be long before I'm falling. Shooby-dooby-doo, deep into that golden spell, feeling I know all too well. I can hear tequila call my name. Dem, 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 dem. Listen, I... can hear tequila calling. And it won't be long before I'm falling. He can do it on his own. Deep into that, let him know, don't despair. Beating high, high, no to will. I can hear tequila call my name. Try it again. Listen, I can hear tequila calling, calling, calling. And it won't be long before I'm falling. Shooby-dooby-doo, deep into that golden spell. A feeling I know how to will. I can hear tequila call my name. She can hear tequila call her name. All the children sing. I can hear tequila call my name.
My name is John Armusa and you listen to Taking Charge.